KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Outer Mission.
I live in the Nastro.
I live in the Mistro.
La Playa.
I live in the Transmission.
Coming up, a young man helps his Mayan community speak their truth in Bay Area courts.
Some people are waiting years to get a case to be settled, and the only reason why they wait so long is because there's no one to interpret.
The mom interpreter. Then a band whose upbeat pop music contains hidden sci-fi undertones.
Sci-fi as a genre in general is all about like projecting your insecurities about the present into like a hypothetical future scenario. So it's like obfuscating your true feelings of the time.
From the San Francisco band The Y-Axes, it's Music from Another Time, today on Cross Currents. As the migrant crisis has continued on the southern border, for months people have been rushing there, immigration advocates, lawyers, journalists, protesters. And there's been a call for translators, too. Not just Spanish translators, but indigenous language interpreters. That's because there are many Central Americans seeking asylum who don't speak any Spanish. Over 6 million people speak Mayan, people across Guatemala, Mexico, Belize, and Honduras, including diaspora communities here in the Bay Area, speak one of 30 different Mayan languages, like Mam. It's a language from Guatemala, and it's spoken by thousands of people in East Oakland. And there's a language barrier when they try to access social services, so many of them depend on interpreters to communicate with teachers, doctors, and lawyers. Last year, KALW's Marisol Medina Cadena met one Mayan language interpreter who's part of a new generation of homegrown Oaklanders working to give their communities a voice in their native tongue.
In case you don't understand what's being said, you might be feeling language exclusion, what some Mayan speakers face when they arrive here in the U.S. And that language you just heard is Mam, one of the 22 officially recognized Mayan languages in Guatemala, spoken by Oswaldo Martín and his grandmother.
My name is Oswaldo Martín. Yo vivo aquí en el área de Fruitvale de Oakland, bish nchishnatsangwe ingeniería, bish lqewincha anang te intérprete.
Oswaldo is constantly switching between English, Spanish, and his first language, Mam. When in school, he speaks English. In the neighborhood, Spanish. And in his home, Mam.
Let me check on here. So this is my grandma.
Nice to meet you.
Marisol.
Uh-huh. Oswaldo's grandmother speaks Mam and very little Spanish. But the two languages sound nothing alike. So Oswaldo interprets for me and her. Dressed in a traditional purple huipil and a long black skirt called a corte, she shows me photos of their family in Guatemala.
Is that you in that photo?
No, that's my cousin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Over the years, she's had to rely on Oswaldo to interpret for some of her doctor visits and translate mail that's sent to her in Spanish.
No, they were 18.
Is that when you were married?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Those are beautiful.
But Oswaldo doesn't just translate for his family. For the last 3 years, he's been working as an interpreter, helping attorneys communicate with Mam speakers.
Before I got into doing it, I didn't really think too much about it. I just thought, you know, they're going to talk to the lawyer, they're going to sign some paperwork.
At the age of 4, Oswaldo and his mother left his hometown in Todos Santos, Guatemala, and settled in East Oakland. Eventually, his family was granted asylum status. And since he spent most of his life here, he didn't know the harsh realities that his community faced back home. Nor did he know the details of Guatemala's brutal 36-year civil war, since many survivors don't talk about it. But that changed when he got hired by a Berkeley law firm to help attorneys work with asylum seekers.
And listening to their stories, I started to realize all of the things that were happening to our community, from gang violence, domestic violence, discrimination.
What started off as just a job to pay his way through community college became much more personal for Oswaldo. He wants to help Mum speakers tell their story in their own language so that they have a fair chance at winning their cases. He says it's important that Mum is given respect in the courts and at large.
We want it to be known and to also be treated on the same level as any other language would.
That's why he makes it a point to
correct people and tell people it's not a dialect, it's its own language, and it's completely separate from Spanish.
Before local courts understood the distinction between Mayan languages and Spanish, they would sometimes assign Spanish language interpreters for Mum speakers, which of course was useless. But awareness has grown. In 2016, the Department of Justice reported that Mum was one of the top 10 languages used in immigration court. Over the past 3 years, the Alameda County Superior Court, which deals with civil, criminal, and traffic law, has also been getting increasingly frequent requests for Mum interpreters. Finding people with those skills hasn't been so easy, though.
We need more indigenous interpreters, and not just interpreters that can do Mum and Spanish.
When courts need to make do with a shortage of trained interpreters, they often hire a Mum speaker to do Spanish and then a second person to relay Spanish into English. But doing it this way with two different people and three different languages is a game of telephone, where words can get lost in translation.
The most valuable ones at the moment are the ones that can do Mum straight to English.
Interpreters like Oswaldo, but until recently, there weren't many available.
Some people are waiting years to get a case to be settled, and the only reason why they wait so long is because there's no one to interpret.
But Oswaldo and other English-speaking Mum millennials who migrated to the U.S. as children now have come of age. They're bridging this language gap. At the office of a local nonprofit called Asociación Mayab, bilingual Mayan speakers are gathered to learn how to be court interpreters. Although Oswaldo is already trained to work in the courts, he attends the weekly class to practice his skills and meet other interpreters. And not all speak Mum. They speak other Mayan languages, like Quiché, Setal, and Yucateco. The class is taught in Spanish so that everyone can learn.
Okay, entonces dice que el intérprete tiene que ser imparcial y objetivo y no puede tener prejuicios en contra de alguna religión, política, etnia, sexo.
That's Naomi Adelson. She's been leading this course for the last 10 years. All her students are migrants, just like their clients. Besides teaching them how to ethically and responsibly interpret in the court, she gives them a crash course on legal terminology. Because in any language, the law is really complex, like breaking down what arraignment means.
Reading charges to them in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Reading accusations. Reading instructions, that's the idea that we came up with.
Okay, no. Because what you're reading there is the charges.
The so charges.
I'm telling you, what am I accusing you of? Mm-hmm.
It takes years to master interpreting skills. So many of Naomi's students keep returning to her class even after completing the training. They also come back because they feel it's a safe space to discuss the emotional struggles they experience on the job.
La experiencia es similar. Exactly. Es similar. Lo que dijo, yo vi, yo lo viví. Y lo que la está sufriendo, yo lo sufrí.
That's one interpreter recalling a time he relived his own trauma while interpreting for a young boy. He didn't specify the details of the testimony because interpreters are sworn to an oath of confidentiality. And since the Mayan community in the Bay Area is so tight-knit, interpreters don't want to out anyone's story. Coping with the emotional intensity is just one of many challenges Oswaldo and his peers face. Oswaldo has learned how to swallow his feelings of frustration when his clients don't win their request for asylum.
You know, sometimes cases just come down to a single word or a single phrase. And sometimes I just want to, like, yell out, like, what the officer wants to hear, what would make the convince the officer to help the person out.
But he doesn't. If his client's testimony of why they are fleeing their home doesn't fit what the law considers as credible fear and thus worthy of protection, Oswaldo says he can't do anything about it. He's simply the bridge between two languages.
Remain seated. Come to order. Apartment 16 is now in session.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Benjamin Reyes. I'm one of the judges of this peer court. I'll be calling your cases in order.
On a Tuesday afternoon, Oswaldo is working a job for the Superior Court of Richmond. He's dressed up in a button-down shirt and a sleek black tie. Over that, he wears a striped camisa, a shirt traditional to his hometown of Todos Santos. It has a large collar and cuffs, which are colorfully embroidered with blue, yellow, and green flowers, making him stand out. And that's his goal. He says he wants his indigenous culture to be seen.
Okay, with the interpreters, please state your appearance, and our court clerk will have to swear you both in. Mr. Martin, please raise your right hand to be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear that you will make a true interpretation of English into Mam and Mam into English?
When he showed up, Oswaldo had no idea what kind of hearing this would be or who he's interpreting for. That's usually the case. And it means he has to be prepared for everything. Today, he is interpreting for a man charged with murder.
So we're here on further arraignment?
Since his client is in custody for murder charges, he can only communicate through the small openings in the wall between the courtroom and its holding cell. Think the space between prison bars, but smaller. This makes it very hard for both of them to hear each other. And the job requires major multitasking. Oswaldo has to listen to what the judges say in English, remember it, and relay it back in Mam, all in real time.
Do you understand and waive your 10-day right, sir? Ms. Eisenhardt, do you concur?
I didn't hear the interpreter. What was the answer, Mr. Interpreter?
He said C.
I'm sorry?
C. Yes.
Thank you.
The trial ends, and Oswaldo looks tired. But his work isn't done. Outside the courthouse, he finds the other Mam interpreter on the trial to ask how she said the phrase, waive your rights, in Mam. He's doing research for a manual he's creating in order to standardize the language Mam interpreters are using in the courts.
One of my projects is to get a consensus of you know, important words that come up in interpreting.
The manual is a big undertaking since there are no direct translations in Mam for legal terminology. He says it's challenging since Mam is a language full of idioms, many of which are based on agriculture or anatomy.
And sometimes it means bringing back old words, words that our grandparents may have used, bringing them back into the language and giving them a new context.
A legal context. So on Saturdays, he and a small group of interpreters stay after class at Asociacion Mayab to come up with Mam equivalencies for legal jargon, like bond. Naomi helps them too.
And then we were saying about the fianza, bond. So payment for you being held.
Oh, no, that's not the meaning. So the bond is this. It's a payment to get out of jail and guarantee that you will come back.
I think that's the part that we missed on, the guarantee of coming back.
Exactly. So you gotta add that.
He's taking on this ambitious project to empower other bilingual Mam speakers to become interpreters and inform government agencies how to better serve Mam refugees.
Part of it too is being recognized that there's a community here that's separate from the bigger Latino, Latin American culture.
He's doing all this while pursuing a civil engineering degree, helping his family's construction business, and working on his own music projects. Oswaldo says all these endeavors are about uplifting his community right here in Oakland.
There's so many Mam people here. You see them walking all down Fruitvale. You know, you can't take a step without seeing one.
He tells me that back in Guatemala, people call different neighborhoods aldeas. So Oswaldo affectionately calls his adoptive home in Fruitvale,
Aldea Fruitvale,
a tight-knit community where Maya migrants are each other's greatest advocates. In Aldea Fruitvale, I'm Marisol Medina Cadena for Cross Currents.
Marisol was part of our Audio Academy training program, and by the way, we're accepting applications right now for the new batch of curious people who love to learn radio journalism. Go online to klw.org to find out how to apply. The deadline is this Friday. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. For Alexi Rose Belcher and Devin Nelson, what started off as a hobby turned into an out-of-this-world space pop group called the Y-Axes. 8 years in, they continue making music with an upbeat, catchy pop sound, but their lyrics tell a different story. In this edition of Bay Area Beats, they talk about using sci-fi to express how they feel about a changing San Francisco.
I'm Alexi, and I'm the vocalist for the Y-Axes.
I'm Devin. I'm the guitar player for the Y-Axes.
The band formed in, like, 2010. Devin and I had been classmates, and then we were talking online on, like, Facebook, and I think we were talking about starting, like, a electro group. I wanted to make these songs exist as they existed in my head, and Devin is the only person who's been able to pull that off so far. Yeah, we started recording songs together as a project, and then we decided to start writing together, like, individual new songs, not based on any of our baggage. And then we were like, this is amazing, let's keep going. I wanted it to be like Y-Axes. I came up with the name with like W-H-Y-A-X-I-S. Like the Y-Axes, like this, like this plane of existence for asking questions. And then Devin's like, yeah, no, that doesn't make sense. And then he wanted to pluralize it, so it's X-E's.
Yeah, I wanted to be in a the plurals band.
It's got all the spirit that I intended, and it's a perfect example of our writing style.
We do have a little bit of pride at being, like, one of the bands that started then that is still around, I guess. Like, yeah. Survived the gauntlet of being a local band in the Bay Area.
Yeah, our musical style is, like, if you took some pop music, you, like, hid a bunch of secret stuff in there. Mm-hmm. It's like Easter eggs or something for you to find. You open up a what seems to be some boring cardboard and you find...
chocolate or a toy. I've always hoped that, like, people will hear, like, a catchy song that we made and, like, groove to it and then maybe play it a couple times and then, like, find all those little secrets. I like it being this thing that kind of has replay value in the sense that, like, you hear new things each time and actually see all the little intricacies that we add to the songs. Won't let that daylight drag down and never bring us down. When I was in middle school, I used to go home and watch TRL for some reason.
Yeah.
Like Total Request Live with Carson Daly on MTV. And I didn't like any of the music on it, but I was fascinated by like the concept of pop music, mm-hmm. but I didn't really like any pop artists. Like, I feel like that trained me to know how to do pop music, even though if I didn't actually like actively listen to it. Just like trying a bunch of things and throwing them at a wall and seeing
gotta
what,
fail.
Yeah.
Fail, fail, fail.
Yeah, we failed a lot.
Fail and then fake it. I usually decide what to write about just like from free writing. I was told by a professor in college, write where it gets interesting. Language, a hollow growl. Somehow we've become what we've always been running from. Don't like try to get to that interesting point, like with all your like exposition and backstory. It's like start the interesting part and then just keep going until it stops being interesting and then change into another thing that's interesting. That way you're always capturing that spark. I got into like the idea of like writing kind of like sci-fi themes to our music because I found that there were some like some aspects of like I guess like emotions that I wasn't able to express without putting like some sort of metaphor on top of it, some sort of analogous thought process.
Well, sci-fi as a genre in general is all about like projecting your insecurities about the present into like a hypothetical future scenario. So it's like obfuscating your true feelings of the time into a fake place that doesn't exist yet, but it's all just allegory for what you're feeling now.
I think San Francisco definitely lives in the songs. I feel like it might be impossible to say that the changes in San Francisco have been positive. At least that's how I feel. I can't really see around it. I think particularly about Super Bowl City. That's usually the first thing that comes to mind when I think, what has happened to San Francisco? All of these tents getting like pushed away and thrown out so that they could have a like put a fake shine on San Francisco for the Super Bowl. That's basically like, that's kind of how I summarize it.
It's really rough right now. There's a lot of people out just out on the street that have nowhere to go.
And that's where these song lyrics come from. Hey. It's very much about the emotional level of where this trauma has happened. It just feels like an isolating kind of city in a lot of ways. You know, everybody with their headphones on all the time, really hard to meet people and stuff. You have to kind of find your own happiness, even within such a like sparse place.
That was Alexi and Devin from the Y-Axes. They're on tour, and they'll be performing Saturday, April 20th at Amnesia in San Francisco. This edition of Bay Area Beats was produced by KLW Audio Academy fellow Porfirio Rangel. You can hear about more bands from around the Bay Area on the Cross Currents podcast. So, are you subscribed yet? Tune into Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. We'll hear the story about the Warriors arriving in San Francisco in the 60s.
There was no interest in pro basketball, and it's hard to imagine in today's world the way basketball was treated. Right after World War II ended, the only three sports that mattered in America were baseball, boxing, and horse racing. So, pro basketball was so small there wasn't any interest.
Uncorking behind the back passes shows flash and accuracy. A fast break proves the Warriors ain't down yet.
The first episode of KALW's new series, Bounce, tomorrow at 5. Yeah. Today's Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Joanne DeLuna, Lisa Morehouse, Drew Gwynn, Marissa Ortega Welch, Eli Wertschafter, and Aliyah Renee Yates. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tariq Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shirin Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.